Thank you, Sam. I feel bionic with this new headset on. Are we walking in the light? I'm going to ask that again. Church, are we walking in the light? In this world encompassed by darkness, are we truly walking in light? Can we see where we are going? What we're doing? Can we see that? Can we see how what we do affects others who are living through two eyes just as you are? I don't know if you realize this or not, but other people do have feelings. They do experience emotion. And more often than not, those emotions others experience can and will be affected by your presence. Do people get hostile when you enter a room? Or do they experience peace? Do they leave the room after you've arrived, slowly? Or are they asking you, are they inviting you, come be in the room with us? Are you a Christian whom people look up to? Or are you one of those whom people really have no clue that you're a Christian? One of the last things I would want anybody to say at my funeral is, he was a Christian? I think what John is saying here is pretty clear. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. God is the source of light in this very dark world. He is where light begins. The world is just dark. And what really is that darkness? Emptiness. Emptiness. Think about it. There are so many people out there looking for an answer to life, and they get so close to the answer, and that answer being God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But they reject this truth. Why? Why do they reject it? Many times they reject God because they go along with the world. They see that being a Christian isn't very fashionable. It isn't in. But they find it worth it to reject the truth and wander around empty with no satisfaction. Their only source of pseudo joy or happiness is, if you will, comes from carnal things which are only temporary and empty. Just like the darkness that consumes this world, it's temporary and empty. There's no fulfillment that comes from this darkness, yet people choose to relish in it rather than confront the truth that has been given to them by a merciful God. And they wonder why they're miserable and empty. Looking to carnal pleasures such as drunkenness, sex, money, music, food, love, drugs, and even other humans. And they only lead to two things: emptiness, and death. As a Christian who is just as broken as everyone else, I find it important to ask myself, what am I looking to? Who am I putting my hope in? Where is my hope found? Am I really seeking the Lord and living a life of worship unto Him? Or am I kneeling at the altar of my wealth? Am I kneeling at the altar of sex, drugs, and rock and roll? Am I kneeling at the altar of myself? Am I putting my faith and trust into carnal, temporary pleasures to save me from the miserable day in and day out of life? Or am I putting my faith and trust in the one who is light and brings joy? The one who provides life. The one who reveals darkness around me so that I can be wise to it and turn away, never to look back at it again. If there is a God who is merciful enough to still interact with his creation and gracious enough to give us answers, then I want to follow him. And I do. And I pray that you come to that conclusion too if you haven't. Because let me tell you, this world has nothing to offer. It has nothing to offer. It has nothing to give. And all it truly does is take and take and take, leaving you empty and hopeless. I don't know about you, but there was a time in my life where I was in darkness and was looking to the things of the world to complete and fulfill me into all that I'm destined to be. And let me tell you, that was all in vain. It was for nothing. Because all the drugs I took left me empty and wanting more, draining me of my finances and destroyed my body. All the alcohol I drank went right through me, only to end up hopefully in the toilet, in the grass, or in my bed. It took the respect people had for me away due to the dumb decisions I made, due to the dumb things that I said. All the lust I had manifested took away the ability for me to talk to people and look them in the eye. All the money I had accumulated went right back to the world. The world takes and takes and takes and leaves you wanting more. But the only thing it really leaves you is nothing. I had to come to a point in my life where I realized that it was hopeless. The rhythm of this world, it was hopeless, and it took a divine piercing into my heart in order to bring me to a realization that there is more to creation than what this world presents. There is a light somewhere. There is a light in the darkness. And that, folks, is God. God who exists in three persons, the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he does love his creation. He does interact with it. And he does care enough to provide insight into what he has set forth into motion. And let me tell you, true freedom is found in knowing that this God exists and this God loves you and there is nothing you can do about it. Sorry to all those who think that they're their own gods, who think that they have any sort of power. Really, I'm not sorry. It's time to throw away the pride and kneel at the foot of the cross where salvation lives, where salvation stands. Salvation is found in no one else through Jesus Christ, who is God, and by what John is saying to us here, is light. He is the one with the power to regenerate the dead hearts to life. It is he whom we should have our faith and trust in, not the world, not ourselves. In him. He is the one with the power to forgive sin, to wipe the slate clean. He is the one who is going to stand before the Father and say as to whether or not he knows you and that you are his child. No one else, Jesus, the Son of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is the one who could wipe away all your trespasses against God, man, and yourself, And let me tell you, folks, that is true power. That is true power. When the Lord opened my eyes and revealed to me the truth of this world and the truth of his salvation, I was able to throw away my fear of the world. I was able to just throw it away. I'm on God's side. And if you believe the Bible to be authoritative, if you believe it to be inerrant, if you believe it to be true, then you know that God has already won the battle. God has already won the battle. How foolish would I be to fear the world any longer? What's the worst it can do? Kill me? Is that the worst it has? God's already won. I know where I'm going. Ha ha, world. Ha ha, Satan. Joke's on you. I know where I'm gonna be. My sins are wiped clean in front of the Father. And I know that only by Jesus and by Jesus alone will my sins be wiped clean. And I will have my seat at the table, the marriage feast of the Lamb. Not by anything I do, though. It's not by anything I do. According to Isaiah, anything righteous that I do is filthy rags. It's filthy rags. But it's only by what Jesus did on the cross which I can be saved. Living the perfect life unto death and resurrecting from the dead, taking my punishment by taking my place on that cross and fulfilling the debt I owed for my sinfulness while also forgiving me. It's nothing I do. There's nothing I can do. It's all God. It's all God. If there's anything I want you to remember from this, is that it's all God. This is what the Israelites, even Moses, had trouble with. It's all God. God created it all, including each and every one of us. He is the one who set it all into motion. And when we screwed it up, He provided a way for us to be reconciled. Not because we're anything special, but because He is good. You'll hear me say this again and again. We're not saved because we're any good. We're not saved because we do anything good. We're not saved because we live righteous lives. We're not saved by any of that. We're saved because God is good. And when you put your trust in Christ, His light will shine upon you and truth will be revealed. You'll begin to see the darkness for what it is, emptiness. You'll begin to have empathy for those who don't see the truth and even reject it, because they love the dark so much. And you'll want to be the light in the darkness so others can see what you have hope in. Church, it's clear here. If we are to claim that we have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. We deceive others, and more importantly, we deceive ourselves. But if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Let us not be deceived, and let us not deceive ourselves. It is all God. But Pastor Jeff, what does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean? Does it mean we have to be perfect? We have to walk perfect lives. We have to live them. Let me tell you something. What makes us Christian is not that we are sinless. It's not that we're living righteous lives, because none of us here are perfect. None of us I know here are sinless. If you are, why are you even here? No. The true sign that we are Christians is this: we struggle with sin. We struggle with it. The world doesn't struggle with sin. The world boasts about it. When the truth is revealed to us, we see our own sinfulness and how destructive it is. Rather than basking in it, bragging about our sin, trying to one-up each other, who can sin better? We make every effort to turn away from it, though we stumble. We also realize that we cannot do this on our own. We need true power in order to do this, and that is where Jesus comes into our regenerated hearts, and the Holy Spirit fills our body, our temples, and he guides us. He guides us through his word. He guides us in our thoughts. He guides us in our actions, and he guides us away from sin and into holiness where we can abide with him. He even guides others to help those in and outside of the church. He guides us to help those in and outside of the church. Within the church, he has created a community where no judgment can thrive, where no judgment should thrive, really, where we can have accountability with each other in a non-judgmental environment, and we look out for each other. This is one of the reasons why the church is so important. God finds it important. Jesus finds it important. Not only to sing songs and hear a sermon every Sunday, which God is pleased with, but to be in an environment of accountability where we work with each other, overcoming sin rather than condemning each other because we sin. For if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Being active in a church community is important. It's important because we pray together. We praise together. We study together. We laugh together. We cry together. And we also have accountability with each other for the better of all of us. You are saved when you profess Christ as your Lord and Savior and repent of your sins, but you will not be all that God has created you to be without the church. Not only are we a collective light among ourselves within the community of saints, but we are to be a light that is visible to those outside of the church. Do people outside of the church looking in see light when they see you? Do people outside of the church see light when they see me? I really hope they do. And I pray those around me can see the fruits of the Spirit, and I pray that they're evident in the things that I say and the things that I do. I pray that those outside of the church know you and me by our love. They know you and me by our joy, by the peace that we have, by the peace that we bring, by our patience. I pray that we are known by our kindness, our goodness, our faithfulness, our gentleness, and that our self-control presents itself to a world that has gone completely out of control. And though the world may despise us, though the world may stomp us, though the world may spit at us, we're called to what, church? What are we called to do? Love. Love. We're called to love our enemy. That's the second greatest command to which the law is summed up. Not only are we to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that is extremely important, but we're called to love our neighbors, to love our enemies, love others as we love ourselves. I'm going to let the Bible speak for itself here. 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, Paul writes, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. If we can do all these amazing things, but do not do so in love, we're empty. We're empty. How is that any different from the world? Here's another reason why the world rejects the truth. They don't see brothers and sisters in Christ loving each other, much less loving those outside of the church. They see gossipers, liars, thieves of joy, and a house of self-righteous people who do nothing out of love and all for selfish gain. Let me put it this way. I've been a part of a church where there are over 300 members, 300 people who are walking in light, light bearers. But even though there were so many, their light collectively was very dim. And I've been a part of a church that had 12 members, and their light was bright. What's the point if we're not going to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us? Great, I've received my salvation. I'm good to do whatever I want and continue to do what I was doing. No. No, you're supposed to be transformed. Paul writes in Romans 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will." Once you've confessed Jesus as your Lord, you've given up yourself. You have died to the old, and you are reborn into the new. You are indeed a new creation, and you are no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled for you and me. We're not to conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. And it's not something that we can simply do ourselves, but we have to allow it to happen, or else we stay stuck and wonder why nothing has changed. We are to practice being humble. We are to practice humility, practice patience. Practice gentleness and so on. And even then, we may not get it right the first time. We may not get it right the second time. We may not get it right the third time. But we're to have faith. Don't give up. We're to have faith that the Lord is working in our hearts, that the Lord is working in the hearts of me and you. As we allow him to. And when you look back, you'll be surprised, maybe even perplexed at how far you've come. The Lord is working. I've lived it. Many here, I believe, have lived it. And I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to transform you from this day on. From this day forward, you can't do it without him. It's all God. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. For Christ's sakes, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. This is the Bible talking, folks. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us walk anew. Let us walk in light, for that is what we are when we walk with God. When we walk with God on this journey, for that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, church, I preach this not entirely as a rebuke, but to really encourage you guys to run the race to the finish. Run the race to the finish, to encourage you, because the Lord is moving. The Lord is stirring up hearts in this place. He's stirring up hearts in the people of his church. And I hope you can feel it, because I can feel it. Some of the conversations I've had with some of you, man, I walk away from them going, the Lord is doing something here. The Lord is doing something here, and I'm excited for it. Recently, I've been convicted by the Holy Spirit. How stupid, how foolish of me to not have faith that the Lord is working in the hearts of even the lowliest believers. And I encourage you to learn from my mistake. Learn from it. Keep faith that the Lord is moving even in those that you would least expect it. Because if you don't, you run the risk of becoming like a Pharisee, which is who Jesus criticized the most. Remember, it's not your righteousness. It's all God. And if you haven't come to the light yet, I encourage you, come pray with an elder after service. I encourage you to consider what has been said. And I hope you choose to accept that there is a God and that he loves you and that there's nothing you can do about it. It's all God, folks. Let me pray with you. Father, pierce our hearts. Father, remind us that it's by your power that we can do anything good. It's by your power that we can do anything even powerful. Lord, give us a heart of service to you, Lord. Remind us that we are yours and yours alone, and that we should not be afraid of what the world is going to throw at us, because our faith is in you. Our faith is in you. It's all God. It's all you, Lord. Be with this church. Lord, bring joy, bring comfort, bring peace, Father. And let us live in community with each other. Lord, just being accountable, being at peace with each other, Lord. and let us be excited for what is about to come. In your precious and holy name, I pray. Amen.